You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Welcome to M Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Now, your hosts, Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan.
Well, at least Mike Brennan. Matt is taking an extended Easter break. I think he's up in his beloved Traverse City. We're not sure. I just know he's not with us today, so I think I can handle it. And we have calling in is Brad Gramlin. Did I pronounce that right, Brad?
Yeah, you sure did.
Okay, Director of Sales and Strategic Enterprise for Comcast Business. And this is a shameless plug show where, we, as you all know, we've been preaching about this now for some time. IoT Tech Connect is coming up on April 29th at the Michigan Science Center. And Comcast, actually for the second year in a row, has delightfully agreed to be our VIP reception sponsor. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that. But then we're also going to be talking about what's going on with Comcast Business these days and why you should know more about them. So let's do the shameless plug part first, Brad. I'm assuming, I know Pamela is going to be there. Are you going to be joining us next Monday?
Yep, I've got the pleasure of sitting on the IoT panel.
Ah, perfect. Okay, good. I know my business partner on that, Rick Beckers, that's his baby, so I left that in his hands however he wanted to do that. But the reception is for, well, it's for the speakers, the sponsors, the panelists, and then, of course, invited guests. And we'll have a number of Comcast folks there because I just got a ticket request or pass request, as it were, for 14 folks from Comcast. So they'll be there in force. They also get a they'll have a booth there. So if you want to have any questions, talk to anybody from Comcast Business about all the good stuff that they're doing out there. We got you covered. So let's talk a little bit about what that good stuff is, Brad. So I guess one of the things, I'm looking at your talking point list, and it says the demand for more and more speed. We just can't get enough speed these days, can we?
Right. We absolutely can't. I mean, I remember when I started with Comcast back in 2009, people were excited to hear about 100 meg. Now people want to hear about when we're going to hit 100 gig. We're already there. Backbone testing and terabits. So more and more speed is always what's in demand. I think we've done a speed increase across our network 10 times in the last 7 years. So that's something that everybody's always asking for.
Okay. And it's a lot, well, because of the Internet of Things. It seems like everything these days has an IP address. It's plugged into the Internet. It's smart something, smart this. That's really what's driving it, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, and you know, the Internet of Things has really helped us quite a bit, and it's something that we've got our eyes on as well. We've got some of our own IoT offerings. We're using LoRaWAN technology and censoring just about anything you could think of, from parking spots to rat traps.
Yeah, and it all seems to move through folks' smartphones, right? Everything seems to be, that's like the universal controller or universal remote these days, right?
Right, and that's absolutely true. I mean, if you can't do it from an application on your phone, you might as well not be doing it.
Yeah, it's amazing. And it's only going to get more and more, about worse and worse, however you want to look at it. I've seen projections for 20, 30 billion connected devices on the Internet over the next 3-4 years. It's, of course, everyone's just making wild predictions, but the way that this is growing exponentially, that's probably going to be somewhat accurate. So, and certainly a lot of, well, I mean, when I was growing up, we didn't have any of this, right? But today's kids, they all have smartphones. I'm just amazed that some 9-year-old has a $1,000 smartphone. I can't even imagine my parents giving me something like that. But it seems like the whole household has a smartphone, and or they're plugged in with their tablet or their desktop or whatever, right?
Certainly, yeah. And I mean, it's beyond the household. I mean, organizations like mine, I can do just about anything from my smartphone or an Apple iPad, using Salesforce as a cloud application to drive a sales funnel, All of our programs have, you know, My Account, so that you can drive your Comcast account. Our SD-WAN application has a mobile version, so that you can check the health of your network. Just about anything you can do from an app.
And also, you've got hotspots everywhere for not only you know the basic consumer, but for businesses, right? If you're a road warrior like the rest of us, and you're always on the move, you guys offer hotspots so you can plug in, and it's real fast, right?
Absolutely. And again, there's an app for that. You can even go through your Comcast app, and it'll show you where all the hotspots are. We've got tens of thousands spread throughout Michigan. All over the city of Detroit, the district is a real hot spot. We've got, you know, 100 gigs of fiber dedicated to the district.
All right. And you also want to talk about the SDN, software-defined networking. Tell the audience what that is.
Right. Yeah. So SDN is a platform that Comcast has launched just about a year ago, maybe just a little over. A few different things that we do there. SD-WAN is a real hot buzz item for everybody now. Getting away from some of that legacy networking through MPLS gives you flexibility so that you can have whatever type of internet is available at that location. We're seeing it a lot for companies who maybe they have a headquarters and they want dedicated fiber. They've got a couple small offices that are either located in a rural spot, or maybe they just have one or two people there and they just want some high-speed coax internet. It gives you the ability to put a layer of networking on top of those internet deliveries and, you know, put everything into a secure intranet.
And that's important. Security is really, really important. I'm always amazed when I go into places like Starbucks and they're using public Wi-Fi to connect to the internet. I'm thinking, oh my God, what are they thinking? You know. So, but yours.
Yeah, a lot of those people are protecting it with VPN. This essentially does that for your entire network, the mesh network of VPN.
Right. Okay. Let's talk about a little bit about that. Let's talk about the advantages that Comcast Business can offer businesses, and certainly that would be one of them, right?
Right. Absolutely. And maybe you don't have a multi-site, and you just want us to manage the in-house network of your single location. We've got the ability to do things like that as well.
Yeah. Okay. What other bells and whistles do you have out there? I know you guys are offering. I think you're offering your own smartphones now too, or did I get that wrong? Maybe I'm confusing you with somebody else.
Yeah, on the residential side, we do have Xfinity Mobile. That's been an overwhelmingly successful product for us. That's offered to anybody that is a current Comcast internet customer at their home. We've got, you know, 1.5 million subscribers to that particular service now. The game plan is to roll that out at some point to our business customers. They're trialing that in a few markets in the Northeast. So we'll make sure to let you know as that hits the market here in Michigan.
Would that be sometime this year, do you think, or are we talking next year?
Oh, I wish I was a part of those conversations. I would hope this year, but, you know, next year is probably realistic.
Well, I would think Detroit, geez, here we are, the auto capital of the world. We have more engineers per capita than any other state. It seems like a logical place to do that when they get ready to do that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And being right here in the middle of America, we do get a lot of the early rollouts because of that. We've got a very diverse economy, lots of big business and lots of medium and small businesses as well. So they like to see how our market responds to those kinds of things. But they didn't choose us this time for the trial.
Ah, alas. All right, so cloud services, another thing that you wanted to talk about. Let's talk about what you guys do in cloud services.
Right, yeah. I mean, cloud services is definitely a high adoption for everybody's digital transformation now. You're not seeing a whole lot of people who are getting ready to deploy a bunch of servers in-house. We've made that really easy. We offer direct express routes into places like AWS, IBM, Microsoft Azure, and then we're also co-located in about 90% of all the open data centers around the country.
Wow, that's amazing. And everything seems to be moving to the cloud these days, certainly. I mean, in fact, we could talk a little about that. My business partner, Rick Beckers, is offering his technology as a service track, which is part of IoT Tech Connect, and that'll really be focused. Essentially, that's the cloud, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. His servers are probably located somewhere in a secure data center. Then all of his customers just need is, you know, internet access into there.
Right. And so what are you going to be talking about on your particular panel? What's your topic?
From what I've been briefed, we're going to be talking about IoT and how that affects the government space. With our particular IoT offering, Internet of Things is one of those things where it can be just about anything to anybody. Ours specifically has to do with sensors. A lot of cities around the country are using us to monitor parking spaces, monitor water levels, air quality, just about anything. One of the ones that people get really excited about is trash cans.
You get a
larger city like the city of Detroit.
Yeah.
And they're sending their people out to empty trash cans or check to see if trash cans are full. And we've got, very small sensors that have 20-year battery life that can send a notification that a trash can's full, and it just saves a lot of fuel and a lot of manpower.
Now, are these the big industrial ones or the ones that folks have at their homes?
Trash cans all around the city. So, some of them could be industrial. Some of them may be a trash can that's sitting at a bus stop. Just about anything.
Ah, I didn't know that. That's rather intriguing. Where do you see those sensors going next? Let's talk a little bit about the future.
Yeah. So one of the ones that we love talking about when we're sitting with local communities is we can sensor just about anything. One of the first ones that of the national vendors was Vector, who makes rat traps. They've got smart rat traps. So, again, in a large urban community like a Detroit, rodents can be an issue. And instead of sending facilities people around to check rat traps 24/7, they're proactively notified when a rat trap is set off.
Really? Wow, that's what I never would have thought of. What other exactly. Sort of municipal sort of things like that can you offer? Are you offering
other municipal things like that?
Yeah.
Really just about anything. We've been talking about projects where, we could do proximity sensors and help with transportation. So, if you've got certain bus terminals that, constantly have large lines and, maybe bus pulls up and they can only take about half of the people that are waiting.
Mm-hmm.
Those kind of analytics going back to local transportation authorities are invaluable.
Okay. We've only got about a minute left, so why don't we go ahead and tell folks how they can find out more about Comcast Business. And, of course, you're in the Heartland region, which I believe is Michigan, Indiana, and parts of Kentucky?
Correct, yep. Yeah, so we've got reps out there ready to come meet you and discuss your needs anytime you're available. You can get a hold of us through business.comcast.com. There's an SMB offering on there. There's an enterprise offering. So, go there and say that you'd like to have a consultation, and we'll get somebody out to you immediately.
Sounds great. That's Brad Gramlin, the Director of Sales and Strategic Enterprise for Comcast Business here in the Heartland region, Michigan, Indiana, parts of Kentucky. But, of course, we're most concerned about Michigan. And you've been listening to M2 TechCast on the Podcast Detroit Network. We'll be right back.
As a Lawrence Technological University graduate, you're not only marketable, you're worth more. Yes, more. According to payscale.com, when it comes to graduate salaries, LTU is in America's top 100. Be invaluable. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
What do you get at Lawrence Technological University? Everything. Great labs and studios, supportive professors, plus a full campus life, NAIA athletics, and all the software you need to succeed. Be smart. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Lawrence Technological University is all about opportunities. You learn beyond the campus, doing real-world research for top companies and honing your skills through co-ops and internships. Apply what you learn. Be challenged. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Hey, it's Mike Brennan, and we are back. Just had our LTU commercial spot. Matt Roush is on an extended Easter vacation. I think he's still hunting for his Easter eggs up in Traverse City or who knows what. But you have me today, and you also have Rajiv Das, who is a principal at Plant Moran, part of the cybersecurity practice there. Formerly, he was a chief information security officer. I always get your title up, but you're a CISO, right, at the state of Michigan?
Yep, that's correct.
Okay, good. All right, so what we wanted to talk about a little bit is Rajiv has put together a panel that will be part of the cybersecurity track at IoT Tech Connect, which is April 29th, and he has the morning track. I think it's the first track from 10 to 11. So why don't you talk a little bit about why folks need to be there so they can hear what you're going to be talking about with all the folks that you're working with.
Hey, thank you, Mike. Glad to be here. So again, a week from now at 10 o'clock, I have a panel on IoT management at the Michigan Science Center. Please come and join us. The panel is focused on the practice side of IoT. You know, we hear IoT in different perspectives, academic, practice. This will be focused on how to manage the IoT within an organization. The panel will try to represent different verticals, automotive, healthcare, and others, and bring in perspective about three things. What is the IoT management strategy, number one? Number two, challenges in managing that IoT practice by industry. And finally, we will end up with some do's and don'ts for the CISOs who are embarking on this initiative, kind of talking about lessons learned. So those will be the three sections, and then I can share some more details about those.
Yeah, so absolutely. Go ahead.
So when we talk about IoT management strategy, where do you start? Basically, you start with a policy. Once you have the policy, first, actually, before even policy, you need to start with a strategy, which can be your overall cyber strategy, and IoT will be part of it. Once you have that, then you will embark on creating an organizational policy, and this will go through a lot of churn. You will meet a lot of frontline people who deal with it. There will be a lot of awareness within your firm or organization or plant where people will not know about it. You will have to do a lot of research. What kind of challenges are there, especially, let's say, if you are part of a hospital, you deal with a lot of medical equipment. And I mean, IoT plays a major role there. IoT policy and management plays a major role there. So you need to be aware of the vulnerabilities which exist in your operation to manage that, the whole scheme of things there. So start with that. Once you have that, then start with some programs where you need to know what exists in your organization. And a key word there is asset management. This is a very familiar word in the cyber world, where you start taking an inventory of things which you have. You don't know what you don't know. So asset management is key. And then finally, following up with some proof of concepts, such as network access control. You need to start doing some proof of concept, getting your plans together, start getting a lot of data back. Remember, false positives play a major role. So you need to remove the false positive from your data, and then you get into an operational role. So we will talk about a IoT life cycle during the panel. I think it will be extremely helpful for people and audience. I prefer to have a very lively audience, people asking questions. So, Mike, we will do the best within 45 minutes or 1 hour to have audience, leave with some good takeaways.
Absolutely. Now, when you say the audience, who do you think would be the beneficiaries of coming to hear your panel? What types of industries? What types of folks?
At top of my in my list is healthcare companies. Healthcare companies need absolutely a good awareness, good practice on IoT. But then, you know, other industry too, autos. And I, being in Detroit, I believe we will have good representation for auto industries from. So again, it goes at utilities, Detroit Edison, ITC, consumers, energy. So I would say primarily these three verticals, but again, spread across all the verticals. So if they can come and participate in the dialogue and walk away with some good concepts, I think the panel's goal will be met or will be successful.
Yeah. We'll have to make sure that you PR folks and marketing folks get the word out, because I'm sure you're already dealing with a lot of the people in the auto industry or in the healthcare industry, and to make sure that they're aware this is going on. I'm sure that's happening, right?
Yeah, absolutely happening. What's happening, there is another thing happening. A lot of time this basically gets a low priority within the organization because they have not faced a ransomware or malicious attack. So my goal will be to basically turn the audience from reactive mode to very proactive mode. So make it as a part of your cyber strategy, deal with it heads on. I will say the word, you have to start somewhere. So start now. Don't wait till tomorrow or next year when something bad happens. IoT will only increase with the, you know, with the influx of all the equipment, everything where you have a firmware, where you need to have a password, you need to have settings. IoT is not going to go down. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I bet it's in billions and trillions soon.
Well, yeah. In fact, we saw a study recently that within 5 years, they're predicting at least 20 billion devices will be connected to the internet. I actually think that's low. I think it could be more than that.
I'll give you an example. Recently, I just bought a printer, simple printer. And when I switched that on Wi-Fi, I switched on the Wi-Fi, I was able to see the network wrap within my home. So automatically, you know, your TV, your other equipments are all connected. And again, that's where, I mean, every house has becoming or having its own network. So the value of IoT management is going exponentially. House, plants, offices, you name it, airports. So again, our focus will be basically on three things. Hey, how do you create an IoT management strategy within our organization? How do you start practicing it by giving some very concrete example? My panel has CISOs and director of ITs who have hands-on experience in this, so I bet they will bring in some very good perspective. I'm looking forward to it. And then again, we will talk about challenges too and suggest some ways to overcome those challenges and finally walking away with, hey, based on an experience, lessons learned, here are some do's and don'ts.
Okay.
So what do you think, Mike?
I think it sounds great. I think we should probably give them a little secret share here. What do you think some of those challenges are? What should not only homes but businesses be worried about?
The biggest challenge is executive sponsorship. You need to have your executive management support this concept. So that's what we have seen not happening. So that's number one. Number two, you need to start somewhere. People hesitate. Oh, God, are we behind in the race? Are we going to catch up? You need to start somewhere. So start like today by getting on these things. And third, knowing what you have. A lot of organizations where we have worked or have talked, they don't know what they have. If you don't know what you have, then there is a problem because you cannot manage it. So I would say those three things. executive support. Definitely knowing what you have and start somewhere. So those are the three major challenges.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about Plant Moran. Now, some people may have just heard the name and don't know exactly what it is you guys do. So why don't you talk about that?
So Plant Moran is a management consulting firm based out of Southfield. We have offices all over U.S. as well as Japan and Europe. So it's kind of international firm. We started as an IT consulting, audit, and tax management company, but I'm part of the management consulting division. Management consulting division has IT consulting and cyber security. So I lead a practice of cybersecurity professionals. We offer services anywhere from IT audit, compliance audit, as well as cyber strategy, 7-point assessments. We are working with a lot of clients currently, locally and domestically. 3,100 management consulting professionals.
Wow.
And 31. And we just acquired a firm or merged with a firm in Denver, which brings a lot of business analytics expertise. So we are enhancing our services. And as part of the cybersecurity practice, I'm adding some other services, service offerings, such as risk management. IoT management is part of it. Application security, and again, security operations. So, we are here, local Detroit-based firm.
And do folks want to reach out? Can they reach out to you, or should they just reach out to the company? How would they do that?
They can reach out to me. Just look me up on the web. My phone number is 517-898-2033, and I will point you to the right person within the firm, or just look us up on the web and call us or email us.
All right. And
that's
Rajiv Das, who is a principal at Plant Moran in the cybersecurity practice. He is moderating a panel at IoT Tech Connect on April 29th at the Michigan Science Center. I'm one of the co-producers, hence the reason we're pushing this. And the panel is from 10 to 11. We need to share this with Motor City ISSA and some of those other folks out there. Make sure that those people know, because you've got the whole panel, the three panels that we have together. You're going to hear from one of our other participants, Dan Lorman, in the next segment. It's pretty powerful. I'm sure you've looked at the whole thing, haven't you, Raj? So you know what we're talking about there.
Absolutely. And look forward to seeing you all there next Monday.
All right. Well, thanks again, Rajiv Das. This is Mike Brennan. You've been listening to M Squared TechCast. We're on the Podcast Detroit Network, and we'll be right back.
Lawrence Technological University is more than a school. It's a launchpad for your future, offering industry-leading facilities and 100-plus programs that are ranked among the nation's best. Be unstoppable. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Lawrence Technological University graduates earn a degree and a higher starting salary. In fact, when it comes to earning potential, the Brookings Institution ranks LTU fifth among U.S. colleges and universities. Be enriched. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Live radio, you got to love it. Hey, Dan, it's Mike Brennan. I'm glad you joined us here. How is everything going today?
Going great, thanks.
All right, so Dan is one of the other folks that are working with us on the cybersecurity track for IoT Tech Connect, which is April 29th at the Michigan Science Center. In fact, we just interviewed Rajiv Das, who has the panel just before yours in the cybersecurity track. I think yours is 11 to 12, is that right?
That's right. Yeah, I'm excited about it. It's on regulation. Is regulation needed for the Internet of Things? And it's going to be a great session. Have Some really fantastic speakers. We have Chris DeRuscia from the state of Michigan, the CSO for the state of Michigan. We have Chris Burrows, who was the CSO for Oakland County. He's now president of Security Solutions at CBI. And then Kasten Thomas, who's the president of InterWorks LLC. So really great panel.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things we have to make sure here the next week is that we get the word out to all these other cybersecurity groups in the city. So, and we're offering a half-day morning ticket, only $40. How could you beat that? We give you breakfast. Yeah. You can attend the panel. You get to hear Larry Burns talk about the impact of autonomous vehicles in the morning. Is that – do I do a show or do I do a show, right? Okay. So
it's great.
Yeah, we just got
a great deal. Great bargain.
Yeah, absolutely. Just got to get the word out if you can help us with that with all these folks. That would be wonderful. So let's talk about what you guys are doing. Should there be regulation in IoT? It's still the wild, wild west out there, right?
Yeah, I know. It's a topic that has really gotten a lot more tension recently. Going back in the session description, we talk about back in 2017 at RSA, Bruce Schneier, who many listeners will know the name, a very famous blogger and leader in the industry, said, you know, that you know, basically we're going to have someone's going to die. Basically, new laws are going to be needed before somebody dies is really what the quote was. But, you know, he said it's one thing when, you know, people get DDoSed or when, you know, different things happen, you know, that are seem kind of minor, almost, nuisance kind of things, but, you know, minor issues. But really, when you're talking about medical devices, when you're talking about parts in cars, you know, and so many different new aspects that really are now connected to the internet, that we really need to be dealing with this more holistically, and that, you know, we need more regulation. So a lot of people were surprised when Schneier came out for more regulation, and it's really going to be a kind of a lively debate, because I know there's different people on the panel that have different viewpoints on this. Some that say, you know, let the market just, you know, drive itself and just leave it alone, and others that maybe have more of a view that we need to have more regulation. So it should be a really good discussion.
Yeah, I guess a lot of people are questioning whether the FAA should have given Boeing more regulation on the Supermax. So it's kind of the same principle, right? It's hard to have the industry police itself.
Exactly. And I think that's right. And, you know, there's a number of regulations that people are talking about out there right now. Europe has the European Telecommunications Standards Institute, which has, you know, put out a bunch of regulations for everything from, you know, you can't use default passwords and, you know, for manufacturing and different solutions that are sold in Europe. And Congress has come out with this new IoT Cybersecurity Improvement Act. But there have been a number of these in the past couple of years. They don't seem to go very far legislative-wise on Capitol Hill in Washington, but really kind of encouraging strongly, you know, the private sector to take action, but also kind of mandating things within the federal government. So we'll see if that, you know, takes hold. But I think the reality is that there's a lot of calls right now for more regulation around IoT.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, and it varies, like you say, from country to country, continent to continent. Everybody does different things. Europeans are much more aggressive. Americans, not so much. You know, laissez-faire kind of thing. I agree that typically you don't get the government stepping in some way, whether good or bad, until some catastrophe happens. Like you say, somebody's in a driverless vehicle that's used to assassinate somebody, or somebody's on a medical device that gets shut down by a hacker, or something crazy like that, right?
Exactly. And, you know, and we're going to have some practical examples. Got so much information here in front of me. I don't have time to go over this on the show today, but you know, there's all kinds of direction coming from Congress depending on where you're at on this issue. You know, should this be something that is really required for all government contracts? You know, on March 11th, just last month, a bipartisan group of lawmakers came out with this Internet of Things Cybersecurity Improvement Act of 2019. Senator Mark Warner, Senator Cory Gardner introduced the legislation, you know, really mandating that government takes a close look at all of this thing. And really, some of those provisions would be, you know, what would that look like? And just, you know, I just want to point out a couple of those items, like, you know, basically follow a secure development life cycle, that known vulnerabilities in IoT devices, Internet of Things devices, are patched. So a lot of times there's known, you know, problems, and they're just, nothing's done about it. People continue to buy those. Consumer protection kind of notices on things, configuration management for IoT devices. You know, really, I think the reality is the question it comes down to, Mike, is will that be something the government has to mandate, or will companies kind of get the message and already include better instructions for people, you know, force people to reset their passwords and not use that default password for their thermostat at home, you know, that a lot of stories about that last year. And, you know, more and more, you're almost thinking of any device connected to the Internet. That, you know, we had a few years back, we had a lot of coverage around, you know, basic baby monitors that, you know, were hacked and used for IoT, DDoS attacks, Internet of Things, distributed denial of service attacks against different companies. So, I mean, you know, forcing people to do the right thing, or do you just, you know, provide better information, provide incentives for companies, and then let them, you know, do, you know, basically police it themselves? That's really what it comes down to.
That's a tough call. Again, it comes down to, in the end, I guess, if the customers are driving this, the demands for these changes, particularly American companies will respond to that, right?
I think so. You know, I think, you know, there has been a lot of good progress, and I'm kind of right down the middle on this. I depending on how the panel goes, I may take sides one way or the other. I could argue the case either way. I do think a lot of IoT manufacturers have improved their products. But, you know, you have a classic kind of innovator versus, you know, first to market push. You know, a lot of times I literally have talked to companies over the last few years where I was at an IoT show out in California in Santa Clara back about two, three years ago. And a number of the companies were saying, you know, if it's going to cost us an extra $20 to $30 to put extra security protections in place, I'd rather be the first to market and be cheaper than slow down the development of a new product and you know, maybe fifth the market, and then you boom, the market's already saturated. So I think that's kind of the dilemma that a lot of innovators have. They have a new product, they think it's cool, you know, kind of presents under the Christmas tree, if you will, you know, get it out there. People like new technology, new innovations. And so the question becomes, you know, should they be required to make sure that's secure? And it's not just about that individual device itself. It might just be a toy, but could that device be taken over and then used to attack other devices on the you know, Wi-Fi on your internet, or other things, you know, around the country, around the state? So, I mean, the reality is, what is the responsibility of the manufacturer, and how far does that go? I think those are really some really difficult questions, and we're going to get three very different perspectives on that from the government, from the private sector, and from kind of a libertarian point of view on the panel.
Yeah, and a few years back, they talk about the weakest link in the chain. I think it was the Target hack where the bad guys came in either through the HVAC system or through a smart vending machine that was connected to the web that didn't have any security, if I recall, right?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And, you know, there's lots of stories of that happening in different companies around the world. You can literally, there's so many hacking stories out there. They're really almost a dime a dozen now, but there's so many different cases of that. And also, you know, you've got that in the critical infrastructure, you know, in the, you know, oil prices up big today, but, you know, in oil companies, you know, you got components that are smart components, smart cities, you've got, you know, smart city competitions all over the United States now, different cities and states competing for, you know, which city is the smartest. But, you know, what if somebody took over those streetlights, or they took over those parking meters and they used them for some nefarious purpose? You know, there's so many different aspects to this. And then also for the consumer at home, as you buy devices, there's a level of expectation that, you know, your toaster that you buy is not going to start a fire in your kitchen or something, right? So we have different laws around that, consumer protection laws. And so more and more of these home devices and appliances are going to be connected to the internet, connected into your home Wi-Fi. You know, what level of security is really required? Again, I think everyone agrees it should be secure. I think all the IoT companies are saying that. I think the challenge is, will the government need to mandate it? Will it be in law? Will it be forced? I think you're starting to already see this show up in government contracts for government-purchased items. Will you see it more and more in the consumer space and in the medical device space and in other manufacturing areas?
Yeah, these are all valid questions that we'll be exploring next week at IoT Tech Connect in the Cybersecurity Track, which is in the morning from 10 until 1. Only a $40 ticket. And you get to hear Larry Burns talking about how autonomous vehicles are going to change everything. What a deal. So let's talk about another thing. You flagged me this morning and you said you did a column on the new survey says Americans remain positive on technology and innovation, but you're not so sure about that.
Yeah, well, I mean, it grabbed my attention, Mike. It was interesting. I was just out on USA Today, as I'm sure many of your listeners are, you know, looking at headlines back in March, and then it really kept showing up again over the next month. They've done a lot of marketing around this, but a number of surveys that came out that really lay out basically what is Americans' attitude towards basically technology and innovation, and, you know, how are Americans optimistic? Are they pessimistic? By and large, the answer is they're optimistic, and the majority of the company thinks innovation has been a good thing over the last 50 years. A number of surveys have recently shown that really going on for better part of you know, this entire last century, there's been, you know, from the light bulb, you know, to Edison, Thomas Edison, all the wonderful advances that we've seen in technology. And so what the Charles Koch Institute did is really walk through and say, you know, what Americans think, you know, we have all these breaches, we have all these hacks, we have all this, negative stories out there around data breaches and privacy, you know, issues with Facebook, et cetera. But still, 92% of Americans think that they believe that innovation is a big part of American culture and history. Almost, you know, unanimous result. I have some numbers here I can run by you. 77% of Americans think that, you know, U.S. is a world leader in innovation and needs to continue to be that. You know, Americans feel like technology by a large percentage. 91% of survey respondents said when considering purchasing a new tech product, they focus more on the actual use of the product than the perceived popularity or keeping up with the Joneses mentality. So bottom line is there's practical benefits they felt like that we're seeing with technology. Some interesting numbers I'll throw at you real quick here, Mike, that I thought were were fascinating. Strong majority of expect package delivering flying drones. 81% expect flying drones in their lifetime. And then 71% of Americans think that we're going to see self-driving vehicles within their lifetime. Which, autonomous vehicles is one of the topics on the show next Monday. Longer-term technologies such as short-trip flying vehicles. 42% think we'll have that. 33%. Think we'll have underground car transport tunnels, kind of like that tube in California they're talking about, the super fast tubes. In terms of regulation, Americans generally believe there's too much power and wealth controlled in a highly innovative company, 77%. But despite this, Americans are in favor of allowing market competition, 87%, to drive innovation, like we were just talking about. Then using regulation as a means of preventing unforeseen problems in the technology markets, 55% think we should have more regulation. So, you know, really, it's the study is pretty fascinating. I kind of contrast this in the article with, you know, the kind of the pessimistic view by a lot of hackers, white hat hackers, and and you know, people in the cybersecurity industry, and kind of balancing, you know, the FUD we hear, the fear, uncertainty, and doubt, and all the stories around that. So, you know, the article really explores that, and really kind of, you know, I kind of end up with saying, you know, most cybersecurity pros probably need to be more optimistic and positive, and maybe maybe the most of Americans need to also understand what the risks are with the technology they're using. So we all kind of hope. Need to end up somewhere in the middle, I think.
And we'll have to leave it at that. We're out of time for your segment here, Dan, but we look forward to seeing you next Monday at the Michigan Science Center for IoT Tech Connect, where you can explore all these cybersecurity topics with hopefully a large crowd. So this is Mike Brennan. You've been listening to the M2 TechCast on the Podcast Detroit Network. We'll be right back.
As a Lawrence Technological University graduate, you're not only marketable, you're worth more. Yes, more. According to payscale.com, when it comes to graduate salaries, LTU is in America's top 100. Be invaluable. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Lawrence Technological University is all about opportunities. You learn beyond the campus, doing real-world research for top companies and honing your skills through co-ops and internships. Apply what you learn. Be challenged. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
It's Mike Brennan, and we're back, and Matt Roush is still hunting for Easter eggs up in Traverse City. We're not sure. He loves that place up there. So he won't be back next week. Next week, we won't be having the show because we're going to be a little busy with another show, and it's going to be IoT Tech Connect at the Michigan Science Center. And one of our participants, one of our vendors, one of our sponsors is 123net, and I know you're usually used to hearing the crazed Ukrainian at this time, but instead we have Heather Gary. How you doing, Heather?
I'm well, Mike. How are you?
Great. Ihor is still, in Florida or something, but he will be back, I'm sure, in time for the show, right?
He sure will.
Okay, great. So, some exciting news. You guys are approaching your 1,000th lit fiber building, yeah?
Yes, that is correct. So we've had a busy year, you know, here at 123net already. We're continuing to grow. We have now about 4,000 miles of fiber throughout the state of Michigan.
Wow.
And we have lit our 1,000th building.
Wow. So is there some way of putting that into perspective? I mean, how much data are you guys generating with all those lit buildings? Is there any way to put your arms around it?
You know, I don't have a good number to quantify that, but it is a lot of data.
Absolutely. It's got to be huge. But, of course, you are the home of the Internet Exchange, so you got that covered, right?
Yes, we are the home of the Detroit Internet Exchange. It was founded back in 2014 by our CTO, Ryan Duda.
Mm-hmm.
He recently just traveled to Vancouver for the Global Peering Forum to help recruit new content providers to the exchange.
Ah.
So if you do visit, you know, www.detroitix.com, you'll see that we're now pushing about 60 gigabits per second
Wow.
of traffic.
And again, is there any way to kind of quantify that? That's a big number. People, I mean, even I'm not sure how big that is.
It is a very, very large number. We think about, you know, the types of data that we're using in our homes today.
Right.
For, you know, a small business, 100 megabits per second
Right.
is a pretty, you know, average number. But this is 60 gigabits
Yeah.
per second.
Exponentially
so
bigger,
it's
right?
It's a lot bigger.
Yeah. Okay. So now you have some opportunities for businesses out there to become a partner. I know my business partner, Rick Beckers, has done just that, right?
Yes, Rick certainly has. And my role at 123net as an agent manager is to serve as a dedicated resource to help our partners bring connectivity to their customers. So IT managed service providers, IT consultants, telecom integrators, and even hardware vendors are great partners for us. And we have a wonderful program that we've put in place for them.
Tell me a little bit about that.
Sure. So our partner program is free to join. There's no commitment or annual sign-up fees or anything of that nature. Our partners do receive monthly residual commissions as well as upfront bonuses on the services that they sell. We often have promotions going on and quarterly incentives for our partners to help sell our services. So right now we have a promotion going on where a new partner, if they sell a 123net service within the first 90 days, they'll receive an additional bonus SPIF. That's the monthly recurring revenue.
Ah, okay. And I don't know if it's a secret or not, but can you talk about roughly how many partners you have participating? Give me a ballpark figure.
Sure.
Bigger than a breadbasket or, you know.
Yeah, it sure is. So we have over 100 partners and counting today.
Wow. And is that primarily in Michigan or all over or what?
That's primarily within the state of Michigan, but we do work with national partners as well. As larger opportunities come in, some of those national MSPs and VARs get involved as integrators with the end customer.
And this 4,000 miles of fiber that you have around the state, is it principally in the lower half, southern lower half of the state, or does it all over the state? Is it the UP? Where do you have it?
Sure. So we haven't quite reached the Upper Peninsula yet, but okay. It's not just in Southeast Michigan. We actually do have a ring that goes all the way up through Flint and then kicks over to Grand Rapids and then comes back down to Southfield.
Okay. And then where do you make the big connection? In Chicago? Or I know GM has a big connection, right?
We do have two routes. One goes to Chicago, mm-hmm. and then we also have another 10-gig route that goes down to Ashburn, Virginia.
Oh, okay, down there. It doesn't really matter because it's moving in nanoseconds, right? So speed of light, as it were. All right, so let's talk about so you're looking for new partners, managed service providers, IT project consultants, telecom consolidators. Now, that's what exactly is the telecom consolidator?
Sure. So what we find with a lot of larger companies that have many locations, they aren't really maximizing or getting the most bang for their buck on bandwidth. They have contracts that, you know, may be sitting for a long period of time and they're spending way too much money. So there are companies that can come in. They can help take a look at all of the bills and, you know, different sites that some of these companies have and really get that to a manageable number and get them the most bandwidth for their buck.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Let's talk about some upcoming events. Certainly one of them that I've already mentioned is April 29th at the Michigan Science Center with IoT Tech Connect. Ding, ding, ding. Hit that bell. Shameless plug bell. And so what else you guys got coming up? Have you got any big events coming up that we can work with you on, say, in the spring or summer?
Yeah, we sure do. In the spring, we don't have an exact date set yet, but we will be having a new partner data center tour and lunch and learn to tour the data center. We have three in Southfield, one in Grand Rapids. This will be held at the 24700 Northwestern Highway Data Center, which is home of the Internet Exchange.
Secret location, right?
Yes, very top secret. No, it's not. It's right there off of Northwestern Highway. Mm-hmm. You can't miss it if you try. But yeah, it's a great opportunity for new partners to come out, tour the data center, learn more about the products and services that we offer and how they can best benefit their customers.
Now, I know you acquired that from some other large company. Eeyore was telling me about it, but I can't remember who it was. Or did you build that yourself? I was thinking, is that an acquisition or a build out?
The actual building itself?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was an acquisition. We did take over the whole building quite a few years back. So we do own and operate that entire facility today.
And that's going to be really, really big, right?
It's about seven floors, five of which are data center space, and then it also houses our corporate offices.
Wow, that's amazing. Lots of stuff going on there. So the other thing, too, is the Matt question that he always asks, I'll ask instead. Are you guys hiring right now, and what are you looking for?
Yeah, of course. We are always hiring and always looking for new talented individuals to join our team. Technicians, account managers, you know, we really are looking for all open positions and talented individuals.
Any specifically, or we can point them or they can look to find out?
Yeah, of course. They can visit our website at www.123.net.
Okay. Now, you guys have been around for, gosh, a number of years. I can't remember how many. It's been 15, 20 years, isn't it?
Yep, over 20 years.
And Dan started the whole business way back when, and we just had him on the show a couple months back, right around Christmas time. So great guy, doing well, and so is the company, right?
Yes, absolutely. We are continuing to grow, as I mentioned, at about 20% year over year.
if you can share this, what is sort of the goals over the next couple of years? Where do you see this all going? You know, what's your goal for how many lit buildings or how many miles of fiber? Do you have? I'm sure you have those numbers, right? You might have them at the tip of your tongue, but what's the future look like?
Yeah, so we are owned and operated here in Michigan, so we want to really focus on bringing high-speed connectivity and safe, secure data center space to local Michigan businesses. So I think as our network continues to expand, it'll be really here in that Michigan market.
Okay. And the same thing with the partners. You'd like to, as many as you can, right?
Yeah, of course. We want to make sure that all of our customers are being taken care of. And the best way to do that is through the people that they trust. And those are, you know, their IT guy or a managed service provider or their cloud hosting provider.
Now, looking at your checkpoints here and why become a 123net partner, let's go through each one of those. So if somebody is interested, they'll find out why they should learn more. Take it away.
Sure. They can definitely visit our partner page at www.123.net/partner-program.
Okay. And so you get easy and quick quoting process to get your proposals, I can do it, to your customers fast, right? Let me move down through the checklist so we make Ihor happy. He's probably listening. So work with an agent manager like yourself?
Yes. Yeah, so all of our agents or partners will receive a dedicated agent manager. In addition to an account manager, a project manager, and a NOC technician. So those individuals will help drive their orders for their customers every step of the way through design, construction, permitting, and even installation and turn up.
Okay. And everything's done in-house?
Everything is done in-house. We do not outsource, you know, any, you know, facets of our business. Everything is done by a 123net employee.
And dedicated project management and NOC support.
Yes. Yep. Our project managers will work with you every step of the way. And as soon as you call into the NOC, you don't go through kind of the big company escalation process where it takes an hour to get to the correct person. You'll be connected directly with a technician that can solve your problem.
None of those crazy artificial intelligence things where you got to answer all these questions and provide all these answers just to find the right person, right?
Right.
Well, that's good. Boy, those things drive me nuts. So... All right. Maybe it's premature, but I'll ask anyway. I know that Ihor was telling me you guys are changing something internally. I'm not sure if it's the partner program or something else. Are you free to talk about that yet, or is this new direction thing he was talking about?
Sure. So he could be referring to what we've created, and those are customer-focused teams.
Oh, okay.
So that's kind of what I was referring to in terms of having your own dedicated agent manager, account manager. So it's really just to make sure that you have all of your bases covered, and there really isn't just one, you know, individual that you can contact. You have an entire team there to support you.
Okay. Then I misunderstood. I wasn't sure exactly what it was. He wasn't getting into a high level of detail. So.
Sure.
Good. Then also, you guys have a lot of folks working for you, a couple hundred, I think, don't you, or something, maybe?
Yes, we do. We have about 180 employees today, and we have lots of fiber crews. You probably see our trucks out there on the road. We have about 10 fiber crews that are directional drilling and a few aerial crews out there.
Okay. We have less than a minute left, so one more time, let's tell folks how they can either reach out to you or 123net or both.
Yes, you can reach me. You can send me an email at hgarey@123.net, or you can visit our partner program page on our website to learn more at www.123.net/partner-program.
Okay, and that's Heather Gary, G-A-R-I-E?
E-Y.
E-Y. I always blow up the names on this show. Agent manager at 123net, great operation. We've been working with them now for about a year. I encourage you to check them out. But unfortunately, we're out of time, right, Jessica?
Yes.
Best color person in the industry. So anyway, yes. So this is Mike Brennan. Well, we won't be around next week. We're going to be at our own big show, which is IoT Tech Connect at the Michigan Science Center all day long. You'll be able to meet the 123net team there along with a lot of other great folks that you're going to gather a lot of information from. So we'll be back in May sometime. I'm not sure what the first Monday in May is, but we'll be back then. And so this is Mike Brennan saying, see you in May.
Thanks for listening to M Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Join your hosts, Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan, next Monday at 3 p.m. If you can't listen live, audio podcasts of the show can be found at podcastdetroit.com.